Well, welcome to Hope Singapore. Hello, hello, hello. Praise God, it's wonderful to be in church today. Hey, turn to your neighbor on the left and right just one more time. Say that, hey, it's good to be in God's house. Can you tell them that, all right? It's great to be in God's house. Amen. Wonderful. If you are new with us, we are just so grateful that you have taken the time to be with us this evening. We pray that not only will you find a service here in Hope, but you also find a spiritual home among us. We are so glad that you are here. And to those of you who are watching me on the screen, either on a Sunday morning or a Sunday afternoon, good morning, good afternoon, good night. And to our global audience, I want to welcome you as well. If you are watching us in another country, we welcome you to Hope Global. And I want to let you know that we are right now, Hope Movement, we're in 33 countries around the world. So if you long to be connected, just type in the chat group and we will be more than happy to link you to one of our churches anywhere around the world. Well, something happened during the conference. During the conference, we launched Missions Fund, all right? We were telling people that we really want to be a blessing to the nations of the earth. So from then until the 7th of August, we have collected a total, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, 548,000 Singapore dollars. Let's give God a big hand. Praise God. If you're not given as yet, I would like to encourage you to give because we really want to be a blessing to the nations. God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing. Well, today, we're going to kickstart a new two-part series focusing on global missions. This series is entitled To the Ends of the Earth. Missions is deeply personal to me. Growing up in Hope, the call to fulfill the Great Commission has been woven into the DNA of our church. Through our sermons, through the testimonies that we hear, and even from the songs that we sing. The songs that we sing, the lyrics, were not just lyrics. They're not just words that roll off our tongue. They are seeds that shape our vision and seeds that stir our hearts. Now, let me show you what I mean. One of the songs that I used to sing just 1 month into being a new believer in this church is this song, right? This is back in the 90s. The lyrics go this way. I won't scare you with my singing, but just read the lyrics to you. The lyrics go this way. It says that, I want to be a history maker. I want to be a world shaker. To be a pen on history's pages, faithful to the end of ages. And then the chorus goes this way. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see your will be done on the earth. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. So this is back in the 90s. I was just a one-month-old new believer. I came to this church and I began to see lyrics as such. History maker, world shaker. These were lofty ideas that completely captured my imagination. These concepts were totally foreign to me, but somehow they captured my imagination. Now, you must understand that in the early 90s, we don't have internet, we don't have smartphone, we don't have YouTube, we don't have all these things. And when we sing such songs, history makers, world changers. I don't understand everything, but somehow it captured my imagination. Another song. Some of us may be familiar with this song, especially those of you who are watching me on the screen. If my memory serves me right, this is our own song. We wrote it for one of our church anniversary. The anniversary was themed Think Big, Father's Business. It's kind of a, we had a skit in those days for our anniversary. And how many know who's this guy called Forrest Gump? How many know Forrest Gump, right? Tom Hanks, right? So we have this character, his name is Forrest Gump. All right, and he sells belacan. And he somehow makes this belacan from a small family business until a worldwide business. And then we say, think big, Father's Business. And along with this drama, this theme, we wrote a song. And the song goes like this. I won't sing it for you, all right? But I'll just read it for you, the lyrics. Lord, we do believe that we can win the world, win it for the Father. Lord, we do believe what's written in your word, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And then the chorus goes this way. I'll sing it, all right? It's a small, small world We can win it for the Father. It's a small, small world. We can win it, we can win it, we can win it for the Father. And then we'll slap each other. Come on, brother. Come on, sister. Let's win the world. And then the chorus. Only one life and soon will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. And then we'll sing it. And every time when we sing this song, it captures our hearts because this song reflects the heartbeat of our church to evangelize every people group, to make disciples, and to establish indigenous churches across the whole globe. Of course, time has passed, and now we have kind of reworded. We are able to communicate it in a more sexy and succinct fashion. Basically, it is to love neighbors, make disciples, plant churches. That's the cry of our hearts. And as we understand from the Word of God, how is this whole grand plan of God, how is it coming to an end? Well, the Bible says it in no uncertain terms. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, out from the mouth of Jesus, he said this, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. When the word nations, it's not talking about geographical nations, it's talking about ethnic group. To the Hainanese, to the Hokkien, to the Indian, the Hindi Indian, we preach to all nations. And then the Bible says it, and then the end will come. That's the end game. We understand that this is the way that Jesus will be coming back. This is the picture of the end game. But as time progresses, next year our church will be celebrating her 35th anniversary. As time passes, as our church ages, there is a risk. The passion for missions can shift. The clarity of our calling can get blurred. That is why it is important for us to go back to the foundation. And that's why I have chosen to do this specific sermon. These are not foundation that's based on nostalgia because you guys were in church many years ago and there was some song, there was some skit, or was there some kind of dressing. This was not based on personality, some pastor or some leaders who said this or said that. But this is based on the Bible. So today I want to share with you three we beliefs of global missions. The three we beliefs of global mission. Truth that we stand on, that we live by, and by the grace of God, we want to pass on to the next generation. The we beliefs of global missions. Three in all. Number one, we believe that missions requires the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. We believe that missions requires the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Back in 1974, Billy Graham and John Stott gathered church leaders from across the globe for the first Lausanne Congress in Switzerland. The goal? To rally the global church around the Great Commission. And from that gathering came the Lausanne Covenant. It is a declaration that still shapes missions today. This covenant is widely regarded as one of the most important documents in modern church history. Now, let me read you part of that covenant, that Lausanne Covenant. Let me read for us. It says this, part of it says it this way. He said that we affirm that Christ sends his redeemed people into the world as the Father set him. We need to break out of our ecclesiastical ghettos and permeate non-Christian society. This is back in 1974. Right? In other words, he said that we need to get out of our holy huddles to make an impact in the pre-believing world. In the church mission of sacrificial service, church, we do many things. Evangelism is primary. And then it says this, World evangelization requires the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. The last sentence, let's read together, shall we, everybody, in full voice, please. The Bible says, the church is at the very center of God's cosmic purpose and is His appointed means of spreading the gospel. So this is part of the Lausanne Covenant, a very important document for a modern-day church. And this document reflects God's global heart. You see, God is a global God. God loves globally. And from what is probably the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves the world. God loves globally. And because God loves globally, God also redeems globally. The Bible says, but you, Acts 1:8, how many of you are Christ follower and you are thankful to God for it? Come and lift up your hands and give me a big wave. Amen. The Bible says, but you, talking about the people in Christ, the believers, you and I, will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. For what? So that you will be Jesus' witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the Bible is very clear. Global missions is for everyone. That's what the Bible is telling us. Global missions is for everyone. Global missions is not for the selected few or the gifted few. Global missions is for everyone. We may be at different parts of our missions journey, but we must all be involved in global missions. Global missions is for everyone. Now, turn to your neighbor on your left and your right. Tell them this. Global missions is for me. Come on, tell them. Global missions is for me. Global missions is for everyone. Now, listen. I'm not trying to be controversial, but I believe this to the core of my being. I believe this to my toes. If global missions is for every Christian, then global mission must certainly be for every church. So what that means is that every church must embrace the vision to reach the whole world. The whole world. It is incomplete. It is unbiblical. Or rather, should I say, it is incomplete, not fully biblical, to say that our church only wants to reach Singapore. We are a Singapore church. We only want to reach Singaporeans. Or to say that we only want to reach Asia. Or to say that we only want to reach Chinese or African. That's why some of you who have been to different events with me, sometimes they will say that, oh, Singapore has been prophesied to be the Antioch of Asia. So I always come up, praise God. Yes, we are the Antioch on Asia and also to the rest of the world. And this is not my opinion. This is God's word. God says that He redeems globally, He loves globally, and He wants us to play a part in His global vision. What that means is that we must not limit God by confining ourselves to just certain cities, certain nations, or certain people group. Yes, it is true, we may start off with a certain people group or in a certain area, but we must have the desire to reach the whole world. That's God's call for us. Reach the whole world. Now, think with me. Think with me. If there's a new believer among us, and he come up to us, he speaks to maybe the pastors, the leaders in the front, he speaks to the life group leader among us, and this guy with all his sincerity, he comes to us, and then he said this. He said, hey, bro, I tell you what, you know, I will obey the Bible in water baptism. I will obey the Bible in serving the church. I will even obey the Bible in tithing. Hey, but this, not lasting, L-U-S-T-I-N-G, that one I cannot. I'm a guy, you know. I'm a full-blooded guy. I got testosterone coming out from every pores of my body. Cannot. Then if we are leaders, we hear this statement, How will we respond? Yeah, I understand, you know, there are certain things you choose. No. Or maybe a better question is this. When a person thinks like this, how would God respond? Because the intention to obey the whole Bible must be there. The intention to become fully like Christ must be there. Now, clearly, none of us here are fully like Christ. Even those of us who have been a Christian for many years, we are still far from being like Christ. But on the onset, the intention must always be there. That's why we pray. In the New Believer's Prayer, at least our kind of version, Lord, make me into the kind of person you want me to be. I'm a Christ follower. So the intention must be there, even though at the end of the day, we do not fully conform to the image of Christ, but the intention must be there. So similarly, not every church will reach the whole world, but the intent must always be there. Now, because of our lack of capability or lack of capacity as a local church here in Singapore, we do our best. By the end, we only miss Johor Bahru. That's all we can go. The most we do, because we're not very smart, we're not very gifted, we're not very able, we're not very organized, we don't preach very well, we don't do many things very well. So the most that we can go is just across Johor Bahru, not even Johor, Johor Bahru of Johor, you know what I'm talking about. So if that is all that we do, fine. God will still say, good and faithful servant, you did your best. You're not the sharpest crayon in the box. I understand. You did your best. But the intention must always, always be there. The whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world. Now, recently, one of the student leaders asked me a very good question. The question he asked me is this: how can this global vision be implemented in a student group? You see, most of our students, this student service may be a little bit older, but the first service, much younger. And the question is that the students are young, and you may not know it, but in our church, 70% of our students are first-generation Christians. So the question that he asked me is, how can this global mission be implemented among the young people? All right, these young people, 70% of them have pre-believing parents. They'll never let their children go on a missions trip. And even those parents who are in our church, they'll say, boy or girl, you're so young. Cannot, too dangerous. Cannot go. So I shared to this student leader that we should still mobilize those who can go, because some of the parents who are from our church and they have captured the missional heart. Say, yes, boy, go. All right, don't just go and see Mickey and Minnie. Go and see people who need to be saved. Mickey and Minnie, not real one. All right, just go and save them. Go and do these things. And some of the pre-believing parents may also agree that the children should go. Maybe not for the gospel. They say it's good that my children have a global view of things. Good to have some experience, speak in different language, live in different culture, so that when they graduate from university, it'll look good on their resume and all those things. So that was how it is. You know, when I was a youth leader in our church, I used to get the guys to go on mission trip for me, to go on mission trip with me. We'll go on mission trip. We'll do many things together. And I want to assure you, when I go on mission trip, right, that 1 week, right, is worth more than 100 mentoring sessions in Singapore, because we do things together. We try things together. We laugh together. We cry together. We fail together. We succeed together. A lot of fun. When I was a youth leader, the students, like many of you, they are very young. So what I do, even though they are young, I will point them back to the Great Commission. I will tell them that as young as you may be, you need to have a vision for the entire world. But those days, we have a camp in December. So this is what I will do to speak to them almost on a very regular basis. I'm kind of embarrassed with what I've said, but it was quite corny, but this is how I do it. I'll speak to all the students. December camp coming, somewhere in the middle of the year. I say, hey guys, we're going to invite people from different nations to our youth camp. Then, before we eat our meals, we would pray together, we will give thanks for the food, and then everybody will break out to eat their lunch. And then the 中国人 among us, they will go and eat noodles with their chopsticks. And then the Indian among us, they will go and eat their biryani with their hands. And then the European among us, they will eat their scones and drink their afternoon tea with their little pinky in the air. And then the Aussies, they will eat roo burgers. And then the Slovakian among us, they will eat kolo mein. And then I say, and you, the people from Hope Singapore, we will eat everything. Then they all break out laughter. Every time. Said it 1,000 times. Every time I say, everybody was just, they know the ending, but they're all just anticipating. It made them laugh. But more importantly, it made them remember that we exist to serve the global church. We exist to serve the whole world. As funny as it was, we have had youth from Kuching, from Kuala Lumpur, from Johor Bahru, from Brisbane, from Melbourne, from Berlin, from Auckland, from Johannesburg, coming for our youth camp. God's vision is for the whole world. Global missions is for everyone. Everybody say it together with me. Say, global missions is for everyone. Everybody say it together. Global missions is for everyone. So those of you who are watching me on the screen, I know many of you are watching here, you have children. I want to encourage you to take your children on missions trip. Don't just take them to Disneyland, to Sakura, to Taiwan. There's nothing wrong with all those things. Do those things, but more than that, bring them on missions trip. Make a difference in their life. One of the leaders, I remember when his son was, 6 or 7 years old, the son would come to our staff retreat, and one of the things the son would do for all the staff, right, is that he would perform this thing called name every flag in the whole world. What flag is this? Abikachan, from A to Z. Every time you do it, and I say, why do you torture your son this way? He said, no, I'm not torturing him. I want him to capture the vision for the whole world. A few weeks ago, I was talking to one of our leaders. He trained his son, Primary 5, to learn basic Spanish and basic Russian, all right? So that he is able to get connected to the entire world. We are not just a local church. We are a local church with a global vision. So God's desire is clear. The whole church, taking the whole gospel to the whole world. That's the first we believe. The second we believe, number two, we believe that missions must eventually come around to making disciples. This is so important. We believe that missions must eventually come around to making disciples. For missions, the scope is global, the whole world. The strategy is clear. Make disciples. Jesus didn't say, go and make converts. Jesus didn't say, go and meet needs. Jesus said, go and make disciples. Now, please don't misunderstand me. What I'm not saying is that it is wrong to meet needs or to solve social problems. These are good things. But God's command is to make disciples. God's command is clear as daylight. It is to make disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. This will be a good time for us to read this passage together. Everybody, in full voice, please. Two verses. The Bible says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 20, everybody. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. So, Bible is clear. We're not just to do good things. We have to do God thing. And what is the God thing that God wants us to do? It is to make disciples. Yes, your mission may start with community work, digging wells, feeding the poor, providing medical help, building homes. Yes, our mission can start by addressing societal issues from mental health to public morality. But if our work never moves towards sharing the gospel and making disciples, we have lost the plot. We have to share the gospel. We have to make disciples. The church, we carry the one singular message that can transform people's eternity. The church carry this message. There's an old saying that goes this way. If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But what is our greatest need? What is my greatest need? My greatest need, your greatest need was forgiveness. So God sent us a Savior. And His name is Jesus. God sent us a Savior. And His name is Jesus. Now, look at me. I think I overexerted in the first service. Too excited, all right? Listen to me. Why is this point important? Why is this second we believe important? Why is it important that we believe that missions must eventually come around to making disciples? You know why? Because one of the trends we must guard against is redefining missions based on our personal passion. Let me say that again. One of the trends we must guard against is to redefine missions based on our personal passion. You see, we can do missions based on our personal gifting. That's understandable. That's great. If you are a guitar player, when you go missions, you play the guitar. You play the guitar on the street to get pre-believers to come and to listen to your story. You play the guitar in the live group to help people to encounter God. Some of you are great with children. So anywhere that you go and talk to the children, you go overseas, you talk to the African children, the Indian children, you talk to the Chinese children, you have this thing about reaching children. You serve according to your gifting. Some of you here are great with people, all sorts of people of different colors, people of different races. Even though you can't communicate with words, but somehow you're just able to communicate, either through your smile, through your touch, through your whatever, you're able to communicate. We do missions according to our personal gifting, but we must never ever redefine missions based on our personal passion. What does that mean? It means that some of us, maybe we are all about the environment. We're all about the environment. I can't remember the last time I used a straw. I can't remember the last time I used a plastic spoon. I'm all about environment. So when I go missions, I am going to teach the people about reduce, reuse, recycle. That's mission. I'm going to help the world to love Mother Gaia, to save the earth. That's mission to me. Or some of us, we're all about the family. Man, we have this thing about family because we grew up in a very loving family. Family is a big thing for us, all right? Papa love mama, mama love koko, koko love meme, meme love koko, koko love mama. That's all there is to it. We love the family. Man, family is key. We go for missions and we teach people about missions. You got to date your wife, date your spouse, do all these things, but we don't go beyond that. That, my friend, is not missions. Or perhaps some of us, we are big on education. We are a teacher in MOE right here in Singapore, one of the top country in terms of education, and everywhere we go, we're just passionate about teaching math and science because we believe that education can help somebody to progress from a rented flat to a HDB, to a private condominium, to a landed property. So education is key. So we go down there, we're just passionate about teaching math and science. As good as all these things are incomplete. This is not mission. We got to be careful not to redefine mission based on our own passion. What is mission? Mission, as according to the word of God, the ultimate purpose of mission is to make God known and to make disciples. That, my friend, is mission. Yes, we can start by teaching about family. But at the end of the day, the natural family is but a part of the spiritual family. And God is our Father. Jesus is our Savior. Yes, we can talk about education. Education, K can make us intelligent, but to get wise, you need the Word of God. You need the Holy Spirit back to God. Yes, we talk about the environment. We must love the environment. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says that we should rule and reign over the environment. We have a role to play. We are called to be kingdom-minded. Take over the possession that God has given to us. Why do we do that? Because God loves us. Jesus saved us. We must always, always go back to the gospel. Now, let me make it very practical for every one of us. I'm asking every adult life group to sign up for short-term mission trip at least once every 2 years. Adult life group, listen to me. I'm not encouraging you. I'm asking you to go for at least one short-term mission trip once every 2 years. Go as a life group. Go and make a difference. After the short-term mission trip, you want to extend your trip to see Sakura, to eat sushi, to eat raw fun, eat whatever you want to eat. Go ahead. But every life group, let's go for mission. For the students, those who can go for short-term mission trip, please speak to your pastors. Please speak to your leaders. A QR code will both be flashed at the end of the service and also be sent to you through your LGL. I want to encourage every one of us to go for mission trip. Our goal is for every life group to be involved in global missions. That's so important. You know, we've been talking about how to get the church fired up for missions. More mission song, more missions global. At the end of the day, we need to get every life group to go for missions. You know why? Because the hand and the heart, they are connected. Whatever the hand feel, the heart begin to feel as well. Whatever the hand touches, the heart will feel as well. You can stay in Singapore and say, God, I don't have a passion for mission. And watch all the Korean movie, you know, all that you can. And there's still no passion. Get on a plane, go to Korea. If your heart is working right, whatever you start to touch, you will begin to feel. That's how it works. I remember many years ago, I was talking to Pastor Dennis. Pastor Dennis, right now, as we are speaking, he's ministering in India. A couple of years ago, I told him, hey, Dennis, go to India. He said, no, I cannot. I don't have a passion for Indian people. I don't have a passion. Then I said, just go. Your heart is right. He went out there. Man, since then, he had passion for Indian people. He said, they are like my brothers and sisters. Because when the heart is right, whoever we serve, we will begin to feel. So I want to encourage you. Go for missions trip. God will ambush our heart for His purpose. That's number two. Third, we believe. Number three, we believe that missions should be local church-led. I hope this sermon will kind of like be passed on from generation to generation. These are three we believes, so important. Missions require the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. Number two, we believe that missions must eventually come around to making disciples. Number three, we believe that missions should be local church-led. The local church is the hope of the world. As flawed and sinful as the church may be, she is still the bride that Jesus is coming back for. As fallen and broken as the church may be, she is still the instrument that God has chosen to work through. For reasons that we may never know on this side of eternity, God has chosen His church to accomplish His eternal purpose. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and verse 11. This is not my opinion. This is what the Word of God tells us. God's intent, verse 10, was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose that He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church. That is why we value the church. That is why we love the church. Because the church is the bride of Christ. That's why we give to the church. That's why we serve the church. That is why we don't gossip about the church. That's why we don't criticize the church, because we are the church. If we are not part of the solution, then we are part of the problem. We are the church. The church is the bride of Christ. Can't imagine going to someone's wedding and criticize the bride in front of the bridegroom, right? So let's take a photo. You come with the bridegroom. Wow, your bride very ugly. Yeah? Are you like that? When you're like that? Bam! You don't criticize the church. The church is the bride of Christ. We love the church. We build the church. We honor the church. We value the church. Jesus died for the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. A model, how you love your wife is how Jesus loved the church. He gave his life for the church. So husband, we ought to sacrifice our life, willing to die for our wife. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. This is Paul writing to the church in Corinth. He said this, I am jealous for you, church, with a godly jealousy. I promise you, church, to one husband. Who is that? To Christ. So that I may present you as a pure virgin to him. Christ died for the church. The church is the bride of Christ. The local church is the seedbed and sender of church planter and missionary. Every local church should work towards sending out her own church planters and missionary. Every local church have to do it. Every local church, maybe a different part of the journey, but all of us must work towards it. I'm serving in Love Singapore. I know that a lot of churches are far from it, but I'm encouraging everyone. Come on, wherever you are right now, come on. Let's move, let's move. Every church should be a seedbed and a sender of church planter and missionary. Some churches are very far behind. I know it. How do I know it? Not too long ago, I was invited to preach in a church on missions. So I wanted to be clear exactly how do you define mission so that when I preach, I'm able to kind of be spot on and scratch where it itches. So the church leader came back to me and said, hey, pastor, we're doing missions. For example, right, I don't give some, too many details away. For example, we are a church in Bukit Panjang. Our mission is to go to Bukit Batok. I was like, really? Wow. So from Bukit Panjang, 15 minutes to Bukit Batok. That's to the ends of the earth. It's fine. Let's start there. All right. Bukit Batok, Bukit Panjang, Bukit Timah, Bukit Merah, Bukit Jose Go, or you are a Bukit Church. Amen. All right. So I said, let's do that. Let's do that. Wherever you may be, I said, let's go on, let's go on, let's go on. So every church, it must be a seedbed and a sender of missionary and church planter. That is why our vision and our mission is crystal clear. What's our vision? I say it over and over again. Different meetings, in the conference, whenever I get to preach, whenever I get to talk to the staff, what is our vision? Come on, talk to me. Our vision, come on, help me, is to, come on, help me, fulfill the great commission. What is our mission? Come on, help me. What's our mission? Three things. Love neighbors, make disciples, plant churches. That's so important. Vision. What do we see? Vision. Great commission being fulfilled. What is mission? Mission is what we do to fulfill the vision. Because you have a vision, you don't know what to do. It's just a dream. You not only need, you need to have a vision, you need to have a mission. What do we do? Three things. Love neighbors. Love them into the kingdom. Share Christ with them. After that, they come to faith. What do? Make disciples. They got to grow up. They got to grow up. They cannot remain as a baby. They got to grow up in their character. And they begin to feel as God feels. No longer live for themselves. Live for people who are far from God. Make disciples. Not just come to church and sit down, but grow up in Christ. Maybe in the new believers, they struggle because it's a bit of rain or whatever. They want to come to church, but they should come to a point is that God is real. I am a disciple of Christ. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for other people. So love neighbors, make disciples. Then what do? You plant churches. Churches that will perpetuate, go on from the womb to the tomb. People growing up in Christ, young people coming to faith in our church. becoming a young adult, getting that job, finding the right life partner, loving Jesus together as a couple, having kids, serving God as a family, getting old but still on fire for Jesus. No such thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. We are just refired for the kingdom of God. And the best days is the day when we die and we see Jesus face to face and to hear those accolades. Well done, good and faithful servants. That's the kind of church we want. Different. Doesn't it be like Singapore, sitting in purple chair, aircon, English, spit polish? It could be under a coconut tree, a banana tree. It could be singing in different language, different style. It doesn't matter. It is the church. It is the bride of Christ, for crying out loud. That's what we are doing. That's why we are fulfilling the Great Commission. Friends, I tell you honestly, there's no vision that is worthy of our life other than the Great Commission. If your vision is anything other than the Great Commission, you will always fall short. Maybe some people, your vision is to make $1 million. Oh, I'm going to work hard, be the best student I can, earn $1 million, be the youngest, 35 years old, drive a Maserati, stay in a good class bungalow. After you reach the $1 million, you are still alive. Then you think to yourself, man, is that it? Maybe it's not $1 million. Maybe it's $2 million, $10 million. Maybe it's not just living in condominium, it's living in landed places. But landed places, mind you, also got many different kinds of landed places. There's a terrace house, there's a bungalow, semi-detached, and then there's a good class bungalow. So you move, but you're never satisfied. It's like a dog chasing its own tail. The faster you run after your tail, the faster your tail runs away from you. Get a bit headache, right? So it's kind of this way. But if our vision is to fulfill the Great Commission, when the Great Commission is fulfilled, there's nothing else to chase because Jesus is coming back. And we'll all be there in the marriage of the Lamb. That is why, friends, the vision of God to fulfill the Great Commission, the mission of God, love neighbors, make disciples, plant churches. I say to the people and I say to you, I remember I said once in one of the conferences many years ago, and I'm challenging right now, if you can find a vision and a mission more meaningful than this, let me know. I will join you. I mean it, I will join you. If you can find a vision and a mission that's more comprehensive, more purposeful, more meaningful, more gratifying, more satisfying than this, let me know, I will join your deal. If not, let's all plug into God's deal. Hope Singapore, we sent out our first church planting team when our church was about 300 people in attendance, the entire church. We didn't wait until we become a mega church before we got involved in global missions. On the contrary, I submit to you, it is precisely because we sent out a church planting team, even though we were very small, that propelled us to become a mega church. You see, a church with a global vision will spark life in every local ministry. A global vision fuels local mission. Let's flash that. A church with a global vision will spark life in every local ministry. A global vision fuels local mission. Now, the question that some of you may want to ask is, Pastor, why do you share this? Why do you share this? Why do you share this as the important, we believe, of global missions? We believe that missions should be local church-led. I tell you why I share this. It is because more people are turning to missions agency for missions work. Not so much in our church, but I see a trend happening in other churches. And that's a worrying sign for me. I'm not saying the missions agency is bad. They are wrong. They certainly have a part to play. But the ideal is to work through the local churches.
Because sometimes some young people, they get angry or they're angsty with their church. They say, my church, my pastor, no vision one, my church, besat one, my church. Then they go and join a missions agency, and then they got sent out without spiritual covering, and then they go out there, they jump into the wrong bed, they got themselves in trouble, and then they got all sorts of attack, and they pay the price. Especially in a church like ours, where we have the capacity to do missions, there is no reason for us to not do missions with our local church called Hope Singapore. In Hope Global, right now, we have planted life groups and churches in 33 countries, spreading over 208 cities. That's what God has done through us. So I want to encourage you, listen up. Beside short-term mission trip, some of you here should really consider long-term missions trip. Some of you here have the opportunity to do exchange. I really want to encourage you. Don't just do exchange. Exchange is a good time to have a short break, to go and explore the Swiss Alps, to go and try some Italian pizza or whatever. I want to encourage you to use your exchange into church planting. Like some of our sisters from the SMU, they use their mission, the exchange to go and plant a church in Kazakhstan. I want to challenge some of you here who are either graduating soon or you are fresh grad. I want to encourage you to invest, if your family allow you to, you don't have a financial issue, to invest 3 years of your life to do missions. You're going to have a whole life to work. But spend the first 3 years of your working life. Invest in missions. Plant a church. Be a blessing. Do something for the kingdom of God. Do something for the kingdom of God. Some of you may already know where you want to go. I know some of you are going to Japan. Some of you are going to different places around the world. Some of you may not know as yet, but there's going to be a meeting coming up called Embarking on Missions. It's somewhere happening, somewhere in September. I really want to encourage you to sign up for that gathering. I really believe with all my heart that God is going to speak to you. This year, we'll be pioneering in 2 countries. In September this year, we are going to pioneer a church in Sri Lanka. We have prayed for the brother. We are all excited about it. And then, by the grace of God, pray with us. Before the end of this year, sometime in December, we're going to pioneer a church in Mongolia. We really, really, really want to be able to do that. So this afternoon, I want to show us a video testimony of Amanda. In December 2024, Amanda and Everest landed and pioneered our life group in Batam, Indonesia. Amanda graduated from NUS Mechanical Engineering. She was working at SUTD. She was also leading part of the NUS life group in the tertiary service. She heard God, but more importantly, she responded to God's call. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, sit back as we present to you the video testimony of Amanda Lee.
Bridges are structures built to span over physical obstacles, connecting 2 points that are otherwise hard or impossible to reach. Standing tall and proud, bridges often have more than one function. It's also a symbol of innovation, as well as being a nation's pride, hope and dreams. One of which is the Barilang Bridges. Barilang stands for the islands of Batam, Rempang and Galang, and these bridges connect them, along with a few smaller islands, from the north all the way to the southernmost tip of the Riau Archipelago, reachable by road. Amanda is our missionary here in Batam. She and Everest have been pioneering Hope Batam, with Amanda moving here since December 2024.
So big, it's like the 4th biggest nation. So it's like, God loves the world, then Indonesia should be a place that we definitely need to be at. Yeah. I think God showed me his heart for the people here, that actually it's not that much different for the people in Singapore. People everywhere have the same struggles and they are all seeking God. And so then that was what kept me coming. Batam STMs are usually quite short. It's only over the weekend, just 2 days. So our schedules are packed, but yet there's still like not enough time to connect with everybody, to be able to meet up with every single person, to want to go deep, to find out about their struggles. And so that's when, after a few months, I started considering of whether I would want to commit more of my time, more of my energy to missions. So I think that's when I started thinking a bit more about like, oh, could it be me? Could I be a part of it? Yeah. Moving from Singapore to Batam, I think it was a simple obedience, but the process that it took me to come over was not easy, especially I think in terms of with my family. They were like concerned, oh, are you sure? Do you really want to go to do it? I think there were many people around who asked that same question. So it took me some time to explain to my parents about what I was going to do, that I was going to move as well. As I assured them that I think God provides for me, I will ensure like, okay, there will be a friend, like, financially I'm okay. I think in the end they did agree to let me go, leaving my job to come here full-time in Batam. It was not too difficult for me. I think along the way, God has given me past experiences to acknowledge that God provides financially for me, that I didn't have to stay in a well-paying job so that I could sustain myself, that as God calls, as I move, He will provide for me every step of the way. Coming over to Batam, I probably didn't know what was going to happen next. Would there even be an LG being formed or like a community being formed after like I'm here for a year, right? Because they mainly speak Indonesian here. There was also that fear of like, okay, what if I couldn't communicate with them? What if I meet someone who don't understand English? Then how am I going to share about Christ to them, right? God showed me that actually all these things are just maybe fears that are stopping me. And I could take one step to learn whether the language, whether the culture. And I think I see how God empowered me through it as well, that now I'm able to converse with the locals and in Indonesian and even to explain some of the Christian concepts to them. If this is where I see you possibly moving, I will just say yes, I will step out, and then I will see what happens along the way. God has really been sending us people every single month that we are here. People who open up, like when they have any struggles, challenges, maybe they lost their job, they would think of calling us first and just to like have a chat over here. We also met with new friends that we met through friends of friends that came, connected, and that now joins the LG regularly every week. Yeah, and then along the way, each month, they bring new friends to come and join us, and now we have a community here.
Time of conversations and of life related as well. So we give thanks and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Some of the locals are starting to catch on the heart of really wanting to reach the people here. Seeing fruits that they have grown, they have become more like Christ as well. Slowly, more of them are taking on roles to serve the community here, wanting to be a part to share their own stories as well to reach other friends who have not come to know God yet. My time being here, I think, built my faith even more in God. That because in an unfamiliar environment, I think things are quite different from when in Singapore, even when serving, there was kind of like a rhythm, a calendar. I kind of knew what to expect next. Yeah, but I think then being on the mission field was a totally new thing. When God said that, okay, He wants to be a church, how is it going to happen? When He promised something, He will make it happen, even though it's out of my expectations. I don't know how it's going to happen. Yeah, so I think then for myself now in my own walk with God, I think learning to have that dependence on God, not just on what I know, not just on my own strength, my own skills, but that each time to have to go back to Him. Yeah, and that's like the best way, because then there's no other way to live without having that full dependence on God.
Jesus died on the cross over 2,000 years ago so He could be our bridge. one that brings us from eternal death over to life eternal together with Him. Today, He's looking for more bridges. People willing to die to themselves. People willing to usher others to cross over into a relationship with Him. And people willing to bring His good news to the ends of the earth. The harvest is out there. And the people are waiting.
Let's give God a big hand, come on, for what God is doing through Amanda. Can I invite you to stand to your feet right now, wherever you are? Stand to your feet. Should I just lift our hands to the heavens right now? Let's lift our hands to the heavens. Hallelujah. Come, let's pray together, shall we? Let's commit our hearts to God. Say, God, take it, mow it, Lord. We surrender to you, God. Lord, global missions is for everyone, oh God. Lord, we may be at different stages in this journey, God, but we want to march and take the next step, oh God, to global missions. Hallelujah. Come, let's leave our hands wherever we are. Let's begin to pray. Lord, we surrender, oh God. Lord, we lift our hands and we open up our hearts to you, Lord. Have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way, oh God. Thank you, Lord.
Come, let's worship Him together.
Here's my life. You are worthy. You are worthy. And glory, and give.
you know, just now, I didn't prepare this, but just now, during the altar call of the first service, right? How many of you believe that God loves everybody, all nations? Come on, lift up your hands. Come on, lift up your hands. Honestly. Right? God loves you. God loves me. Put your hands down. You know, right? If you really believe it to the core of our being, right? The surrender must always be there. The surrender must always be there. I know I'm putting super, kind of super far, high level calling, but that's the truth. It must be there. You know, when I was growing up as a Christian in this church, this whole thing about missions has always been there. So from day one when I come here, I say, God, after I come to some place, when I got there, I say, God, I'm willing to do anything for you. I'm willing to do anything for you. Either it's local or global, that is not the question. The question is that I'm willing to do anything for you. So just, Pastor Claude and I, when we just got married, it was at a pastor's conference. And there was a call to say, people, respond to missions. And this pastor, he was so serious. What he did was that he took a camera. He took a camera like this. And he said, every one of you who want to go for missions, go in front, stand in front of the camera. And then you state your name. You state which church you come from, when, which country. So I told Claudia, I said, hey, Claudia, you look at the people among us, the other pastors, every one of them, Australia grad, Indonesian, Malaysian, Australian, none of them can speak Chinese. So I said, Claudia, hey, 你跟我会讲华语, 我们两个是最道地的, 我们是在新加坡长大的。 So China got so many people. How is it going to be? I don't know. Our parents, we need to take care of them. Our housing, many questions, I don't know, but the willingness must always be there. So Claudia and I, we hold each other's hand, then we come before this camera here and we say, Jeff Chong, Claudia Tong. I think not married or just married. Chong is married, Tong means not married, okay? China, 1997. Then we walk away. And we really mean it. We really mean it. After that, I go and volunteer to go and preach in the Mandarin church. And they asked me, they're so loving. First passage they asked me to preach, Isaiah chapter 6. I will never forget that. Isaiasu, well, all the different names, I tell you, I have no idea. I say, 我们叫这个人 A, 我们叫这个人 B. Okay, just call it A Jin, B Jin. That's how it is. And I try. I do my best. At the end, obviously, I'm still here in Singapore. But you know something, friends? You know something? I surrender my life to God. I really mean it. How? I don't know. Maybe some of you are right now having the same issue. How to go? There are so many obstacles. My job, my money, my studies, my whatever. But the willingness must always be there. Guys, sometimes we make it a very big deal. Singapore, okay. Missions, global missions. Well, I must take the plane, another place. As far as God is concerned, it's the same. It's the same. You minister to yellow skin, it's no different to minister to someone with a darker hue or someone with a whiter hue. Either they speak English or Spanish, whatever. We have to learn the language, all these things, granted. By the end of the day, it is no different. We see it as very different. As far as God is concerned, they are all the same. They are all people who need Jesus. Every tongue, every tribe. So my question for you today is this. Honestly, are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing? Maybe God will ask you to go. Maybe God sees your willingness and say, very good, no need. Stay in NTU, do all the thing in NTU. Maybe God say, no need. Stay in RP, serve in RP. But the willingness must surely be there. Sometimes, honestly, we make these global missions like a very big thing. Very big thing for the super spiritual, the super anointed, the commandos of the Christian faith. No. Just willingness. Are you willing? Let's close our eyes, let's bow our head right now. Let's close our eyes, let's bow our head. Adults, some of you adults, I'm so proud of some of you. Some of you is going to uplift your whole family to move to Japan, to Hokkaido. I'm so proud of you. I know that many adults are doing so. Some of you are going to Japan. Some of you are going to different places, Sri Lanka, to plant church. Today, the question for you are watching this broadcast or right here, are you willing? If you are willing, as we sing that bridge. Sing with all your heart.
Here's my life.
Yes, Lord.
You are worthy.
You are worthy, Lord.
You are worthy.
All I am.
And all I am. For your glory. For your glory. And here's my life. You are worthy. You are worthy. And all I am. For your glory. For your glory. And here's my life. You are worthy.
Amen.
You are worthy.
All I am, oh God.
And all I am. For your glory. For your glory.
Amen. Just leave our hands wherever we are right now. Just leave our hands. Pray together with me, please. Hallelujah. Come on, let's leave our hands wherever you are. Let's pray. Let's pray out loud. Let's pray out strong. Lord, more than anything else, Lord, you look at the willing hearts. Lord, so tonight, Lord, we come before you and we lift our hands to you, God. Lord, we are all on different stages of this mission's journey, but God, help us to take the next step.
Amen.
Some of us, perhaps, we are taking, going for a short-term mission trip for the very first time. Oh God, Lord, help us to take that step. Some of us, we have been on short-term mission trip many times already. God, help us to be involved in helping to plant a church. Oh God,
yes.
Help us, oh God. Some of us, we have been to many missions trip. Oh God, Lord, and we hear the tug. Oh God, you want us to go for a longer missions trip. Oh God, to plant a church, to unplug ourselves from Singapore and go to another country, oh God. Lord, we are willing, oh God. Lord, we just surrender ourselves to you, oh God. Lord, there may be obstacles. Lord, there may be challenges. But if you have called us, you also provide for us. If you have called us, you also open doors for us. Lord, we love you. We honor you, oh God. Lord, we give you our very best, oh God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for showing us that you are a global God. You love globally and you redeem globally. And global missions is for everyone. We love you. In Jesus' name, we all pray. Amen. Every eyes closed, every head bowed. The last group of people I want to speak to are those among us who do not yet know Jesus. You may have been to church. You may have a Christian name. You may grow up in a missionary school. But the truth about you is that you have never, ever said yes to Jesus. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And the most important decision you can ever make is to know Jesus personally. So if you are here tonight, you say, yes, I want to know this Jesus. In a moment's time, I'm going to lead you to pray this prayer. This prayer is a prayer specially designed for those of us who are saying yes to Jesus for the first time. So if this is you, I'd like to invite you to pray together with me. Those of you who are already Christian, I want to invite you to pray together with us as well. Would you pray together with me? Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
One more time. Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
And I want to thank you.
And I want to thank you.
For dying on the cross.
For dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Right now.
Right now.
I invite you.
I invite you.
To come into my life.
To come into my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Help me to become.
Help me to become.
The kind of person.
The kind of person.
I was created to be.
I was created to be.
I pray all this.
I pray all this.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.